Back in the late 1980s, very late 1980s, I think it was, maybe the early 1990s, I went to Romania, and I was on the platform with the pastors, and I didn't understand, you know, what was happening in the service because I don't speak Romanian, and a lady came up to the platform, and she was speaking. I didn't really know, you know, what she was doing. She had the Bible open, but I didn't know. I couldn't see her face. I was behind her. I didn't know if she was like giving a testimony or if she was reading the Bible, but it sounded very sweet. It was like, if you can imagine a grandmother holding hands with her little grandchild, maybe at bedtime, and saying something, that's what it sounded. It was so sweet. It sounded like she was emotional, like she was tearing up a little bit. And my host, pastor, he leaned over and he said, "She's reading the 103rd Psalm." I was like, oh, okay, now I understand the pathos of what was happening there. The 103rd Psalm is everybody's second favorite psalm. The first favorite is, you know, the 23rd. You can't compete with that. But after Psalm 23 comes Psalms 103, and it's such a beautiful thing. We're talking here about the appeal to bless the Lord, and we'll say more about that in just a minute. But just remind you here, the backstory of this psalm is that David is now an old man. We think that last week's sermon was when he was about 68 years old, and this would probably be pretty similar to that. He would die at 70 years old. So he's a pretty old man, and he's been through a lot. You can imagine that he has a lot of regrets in his life over some of the things we've talked about in previous weeks. He's been through a lot, and this is just a reminder on this slide of some of what he's been through. He's already lost three children, three of his kids, and one was humiliated with rape in a terrible, traumatic way. And he's going to lose another child pretty soon. So he's had a lot of difficulty in his life. The 103rd Psalm is traditionally in the Jewish people's minds linked with Psalm 104. And of course, they have the same theme because both say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So they are the same that way. And the ancient Jews said that David wrote Psalm 103 and 104 when he was organizing the temple worship. So before he died, you know, he told Solomon, "You're going to build a temple. When you build a temple, here's how we want it to be." So we think that between the time when David was 38 years old and brought the ark to Jerusalem and the time when he died at 70 years old, all through this time, he's organizing the temple worship. And this Psalm 103 occurs sometime in that period of time. But David is pretty old, so we think it's at the end of that period of time. And then you see in Psalm 103, verse 5, why we say that David seems to be old as he wrote this, because he says, "Our youth is renewed like the eagles." So he's not a young man anymore. That's the way old people talk. And so we think David was old when he composed this psalm. And again, after the 23rd Psalm, everybody loves the 103rd Psalm very best. Well, you see in the psalm is the constant appeal that we should bless the Lord. You think, well, what does that even mean to bless the Lord? Well, the word bless, when you're reading in the Greek Old Testament, they use the word eulogeo, and that comes from two words. It means good word. So you're going to say good things about the Lord. You're going to think those things in the first place, and you're going to say those things to God. So bless the Lord. Have a good word for God. Do you have a good word for God today? Then you're blessing the Lord. And you see it's everywhere in the text. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. And the entire thing is like that. When you flip the page and go to the 104th Psalm, then you're going to see it again at the opening of the 104th Psalm and at the closing. So bless the Lord. Question comes up then, why should we? Why should we have a good word for God today? A good word in our minds that we think about and a good word that we say to Him. Why should we? And the psalm gives us lots of good reasons. We're going to start by talking about thinking well of God and speaking well to God because of His breathtaking personality and nature. And God does have a breathtaking personality and nature. So our text says, Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." Remember, mercy is just pulling for somebody, not treating them like they deserve to be treated when they've been bad. The Lord doesn't treat us like we deserve to be treated when we're bad. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy. Like, how high exactly is that up there, the blue sky? But at nighttime, the starry sky. How high is that? Well, you know how high that is? That's how high the Lord's mercy is. It's just that big. And so his mercy is like heaven is high above the earth. And then verse 13, one of our favorite parts of the psalm. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. The Lord feels sorry for you. Isn't that something? And then verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Again, that's just a beautiful thought upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Like a father pities his children. About 9 years ago, our little grandson, Reagan, was born. And I wasn't there at the time of the birth, but we got word that the doctor had come in and he couldn't hear. Now, all I heard was that he couldn't hear. The whole story was that he had fluid on one side and that side was not hearing, but we thought the fluid would drain and he would be okay. And that is the way it turned out. So the problem was only on one side, and the problem was temporary. But all I heard was that he can't hear. There's been a little problem he can't hear. As soon as I heard that, I thought, well, okay, you know, so immediately you begin planning your life. Okay, so my little grandson can't hear. It's okay, because I'm going to be like a special buddy to him. I'm going to take care of him, and you know, I'm going to give him you know, special attention. He'll know that he's special. Well, then I got there and find out that, you know, it's only temporary and it's only one side anyway. But I'll never forget when I heard, your little grandbaby can't hear. Like a father, in my case a grandfather, pities his children, so our God pities those who fear him. If you say, well, Lord, you know, I have a problem, I am feeling a little beaten down. The Lord pities you like a father pities his child. And that's a beautiful thought. Why else should we have a good word about the Lord and think good things in our heart about the Lord? Why should we do that? It's because of all God's good wishes toward us. God's good wishes are so great. Again, our text says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. You know, how big? Well, that big, that high, all the way up to the starry sky. And then the Lord's pity, we've talked about verse 13. And verse 14, that's so sweet too, isn't it? For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We're not strong people. The littlest thing can take us down with a sickness. The littlest thing, and we don't have enough strength to accomplish what we need to accomplish to be successful. He knows our frame. He knows we're just dust. We're so fragile. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him. God's good wishes, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. So great. To such people as those who keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments, to do them. Here's what that psalm says about God's well-wishing towards us. His mercy is as high as the heavens, you know, that high. And his mercy goes from infinity past to infinity future, from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is from everlasting going backwards in time to everlasting going forward in time. So how high is it? Well, you know, from here to the starry sky. How wide is it? Well, I mean, in the timeline, it goes all the way from eternity past to eternity future. He just is so compassionate. He's so pitiful toward us. Pity like that of a father. And mindful of our frailty. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. And he's extending the warmth that he has for us because he feels warmly toward us who fear him. He extends that to our children and our grandchildren. I mean, that's just great, right? And so this is God wishing us well. And he does, which is why we love him. Verse 14, remember, says, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are just dust. God created Adam, you know, from the dust of the ground. He knows that we're not strong. And we really aren't. Sometimes we feel bulletproof. We feel invincible. Or we feel self-confident, self-assured. None of that is helpful when you realize what you really are, just fragile. Here's a story from, and the name of the book is actually Autobiography of Lutfullah, a Mohammedan Gentleman. That's the name of a book. In 1857 it was published. And he was traveling the world, and here's a story about how fragile he felt one day. So it was about 11 o'clock at night. I strolled on still with the people, and suddenly upon the left side of our road, a crackling was heard among the bushes. All of us were alarmed, And in an instant, a tiger rushing out of the jungle pounced upon one of the party that was foremost and carried him off in the twinkling of an eye. The rush of the animal and the crush of the poor victim's bones in his mouth and his last cry of distress was over in 3 seconds. I found myself and companions lying down on the ground as if prepared to be devoured by our enemy. We crept on all fours for some distance back and then ran for life for about half an hour. After this, every one of us was attacked with fever, attended with shivering, in which deplorable state we remained till morning. They were just shaking from what they just witnessed. We are not strong, and it doesn't take very much to knock us down. And we have to realize that we're completely dependent on the Lord. He knows our frame. We are just dust, and He understands how weak we really are. Why else should I have a good word for God? Why else should I think good things about Him in my heart? Because the text says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, that's the inside. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." So I'm going to have a good word for God in my heart, and I'm also going to speak a good word to God. And why should I do this? Because of all this forgiveness, which is, again, so beautiful, right? In the second verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Iniquities are like inequities. God was good to you, but you weren't good to Him. It was inequitable of you. "He forgives all of your sins, all your iniquities, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always reprimand, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us." One of the quirky things about traveling on planet Earth is that if you go north, eventually you're going to come to the North Pole, and then from there, everything is south. If you continue traveling, you got to go south. That's the way it is on planet Earth. But you know what? East and west isn't like that. It's just quirky, you know? Like, so from here, if we want to go east, we'd run into Europe. If we want to go east more, we'll run into China. But the people in China, if they want to go east, they come to us across the Pacific Ocean. You can go east in a circle forever and ever. East, east, east all the time. You can't do that going north, but you can do that east and you can do that west. This text says, as far as the east is from the west, where do you ever stop going east? You just keep going and going. Or west. So how far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us, our sins from us? It's like, well, I mean, they're just out of sight. They're just far, and you never meet them. I hope that you are a fan of Charles Dickens, and I hope you have been introduced to Little Dorrit. It's a great story, and Little Dorrit was born in debtor's prison, and she's been there for 22 years. Her dad was there slightly before she was there. So dad has been more than 20 years in debtor's prison. She can come and go a little bit because it's not her debt. But dad has never left debtor's prison in 22 years. So turns out dad is an inheritor of a tremendous estate. And it's just kind of been lost in paperwork and nobody knew. Nobody had any idea. But a friend of Amy Dorrit, the daughter, figures it out, and so now they come with news to dad that he is not going to be in debtor's prison anymore. He's going to be very, very wealthy. So here's how the news goes. Clennam, the friend who figured all this out, he says, "We have all heard of great surprises of joy. They are rare, but not at an end." So he's telling this to the man who's been in prison for 22 years. And Dorrit says, "Not at an end, you know, surprises of joy. Not at an end for me. What such surprise can be in store for me?" And the friend says, "Tell me, Mr. Dorrit, what surprise would be the most wonderful? Do not be afraid to imagine it or to say what it would be." Let me just pause there. How about you? What surprise would be most wonderful? I mean, the very best news you could ever get, what would that be? Don't be afraid to imagine it. What would be the very, very best news? It's quite a thing to think about, right? So tell me, Mr. Dorrit, What surprise would be the most wonderful? Do not be afraid to imagine it or to say what it would be. And Mr. Dort says, surprise? To be free. And the friend says, Mr. Dort, there is not the smallest doubt that within a few days you will be free and highly prosperous. I congratulate you with all my soul on this change of fortune and on the happy future into which you are soon to carry the treasure you have been blessed with here, the best of all the riches you can have, the treasured daughter you have at your side. So you and your daughter are going to go from here and you're going to be very, very wealthy. That's so great, because when the Lord is describing our problem in this world, he calls sin debt. So in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We were all in debtor's prison. It's as if the Lord Jesus comes up to us one day and says, so what would be the very best surprise of all? And you say, I would like to live in heaven forever and ever and have no more tears and no more pain. And not only would I like to have that for me, I want it for my daughter, for my wife, for my son, for my husband, for my loved ones. I want us all to be everlastingly happy with not a care in the world. Tell me, what would be the most wonderful surprise of all? Do not be afraid to imagine it. And the Lord says, done. I will make it so. And he died on the cross to make it so. Absolutely amazing. Why should we have a good word for God in our hearts? And why should we tell him a good word today? Because of that forgiveness. And what else? All this physical help. And the physical help is substantial. Here in the 103rd Psalm, here's what we find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. There have been so many benefits. Don't forget those. Don't forget them. And what kind of benefits? Well, in verse 3, he heals all your diseases. You've been kept from sickness so many times. Who redeems your life from destruction. You could have died so many times. Imagine David having not too long ago been hunted down by his own son. He almost died in an assassination attempt by his own son. Who redeems your life from destruction. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Haven't you had good food? Lots of really great little luxuries. And the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. And that is physical help. Think about this in your own life. We could talk about the genetic mutations that could have come to us when we were in the womb or could have come to any of our babies, but they were averted. And our genetic pool, our gene pool is so broken now. And yet here you are. Think about the illnesses that you've had, but they never really spiraled. Or the illnesses that your children have had, and they didn't spiral. It could have been so much worse, right? And consider the medical care that has saved your life or changed your whole life. My wife had thyroid cancer, and they treated that, and today she takes thyroid medicine, and if she quit taking it, she would die. If ever all the drugstores in the world closed, she would die. Consider that. The accidents that only almost happened. How many times have you almost been in something really terrible, or your children? Almost. Consider the robust health that made your successes possible. There have been times when you've been out grunting and sweating, you stayed up till all hours. That robust health made it possible for you to enjoy what you're doing today. The Lord heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. That's why you didn't fall apart in those hard days. Consider the criminals who chose to pass you by. Who knows what might have happened to you when you were on that sidewalk or when you felt a little uncomfortable in that parking garage or wherever you were. Who knows what might have happened to you, but somehow, for some reason, the criminal decided to skip you and go on. What about the tyranny and bullying that was turned aside once? Turned aside when? Like maybe during the American Revolution. Why do you get to live here like this? Or maybe not so far back. Maybe just when you were a kid or something like that, and you would have had a really hard time, but you had a friend who came alongside and said, I got you. I'll stand with you. Or maybe you had a breakthrough in life, a financial breakthrough of some kind, and you didn't have to live in that neighborhood anymore. You could get out of there. The Lord delivers those who are oppressed. And then what about this food? He satisfies your mouth with good things. How much food, how many articles of clothing have you personally thrown away in your lifetime? You have to admit you've had it pretty good, right? And these physical advantages aren't given to everybody, but they were given to you. And so you should have a good word for God in your heart and in your mouth. And then, why should I bless the Lord? Our second and final point here is the psychology of thinking well of God and speaking well to God. So our text over and over again said, bless the Lord, right? So you just look at what we've looked at so far in the green font. Bless, that's think well of God and tell Him, speak well to God. Think well of Him, speak well to Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything within me, everything. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. Do not forget all His benefits, all the nice things. Count your blessings. Make a list of things that you're thankful for. Don't forget all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Ah, you've been forgiven. He does not always reprimand. Although He could reprimand us full time, right? He could always correct us because we're never really doing everything just right. But He doesn't always reprimand. You see, His mercy is great towards those who fear Him. And He's removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, right? And He remembers that we are dust. For all these reasons, we are told to bless the Lord. Now, you are looking at the 103rd Psalm. And as you do this, here's what I know about you. This is absolutely true. It's true of me too. That's why I know it about you. As you look right at the 103rd Psalm, and even as you think well of the 103rd Psalm, as you do that, you still are not understanding the importance of this message. No matter who you are, no matter how much you think you understand the importance of this message, you don't, and neither do I. Nobody does. We're looking right at a life preserver, and we don't understand how much we need it. We don't feel like it's urgent, but this is very, very urgent. The text is telling you that you have to have a good word in your heart for God, and you have to speak a good word to God. Because if you don't do this, you cannot be psychologically well. You will be emotionally unwell if you don't obey what's happening here. As a matter of fact, if you are already in some way in your life emotionally unwell as you think about this thing or that thing, or if you have this problem or that problem, as we all do, it is probably largely because we're looking right at the solution and we don't recognize it. It's like we are all on this sinking ship. It's called the USS Sanity, and our sanity is going down. And this is the life preserver. So you're looking right at the life preserver, and you don't care. I mean, I know you do care. You're here because you care. But you don't care as much as you should. This is it. This is what you need. This is what you've been looking for, and you don't even realize it. We don't realize it as well as we should. None of us do. Now, this is a graph that is just a little helpful. Recently, Ryan Burge, who is a social scientist, had done this survey. And I know you can't see the fine print from where you are. But let me tell you that this survey is showing on the left side the number of people, percentage of people, who have been told by their medical professionals that they have a mental condition. All right, so here's the question. Has a medical professional told you that you have a mental condition? We're not asking you if you think you do. Have you been told that you do? All right? And then if your answer is yes, on the left side you see all the numbers, percentages that go with that. Now along the bottom, you'll see that that's a political spectrum. On the left is, as you might guess, liberal, and on the right is, as you might guess, conservative, and in the middle, moderate. So those are political positions. But the important thing is the color. And what each color tells you is the person's religious worldview. So the important things to notice here in this chart, 11% of politically conservative Protestants, 11%, say, yes, a medical professional has told me that I have a mental condition. 11%. That's very, very low. That's a very, very low percentage. Oppositely, 32% of atheists have had a medical professional tell them that they have a mental condition. That's a pretty big difference. 11%, 32%. And there are people in the middle. And also interestingly, it doesn't matter very much what your political views are, because we see, for example, that 30% of liberal atheists have been told by a medical professional that they have a mental condition, but 32% of conservative atheists have been told the same thing. Almost no difference at all. The point wasn't their political worldview. The point was their religious worldview. And that's extraordinary. Now, of course, this is a big topic, and we're not trying to shame anybody. If a medical professional tells me that I have a mental condition, I hope you won't hate me. You know, I don't mean to. I'm not trying to. But what we're saying is what you think about God matters. And that's what we have here. You have to bless the Lord. You have to have a good word for God in your heart. And you have to speak good words to God. You have to count your blessings. You have to find the things for which you are thankful and list them and be aware of them and teach your heart not to forget all of those benefits. And if you won't teach your heart these things, then your heart is going to teach you something bad. Your heart is going to teach you to be afraid. Your heart is going to teach you to be despairing and disappointed. So you have to teach your heart. You have to bless the Lord. And don't forget all these benefits. Martin Lloyd joins us is good this way. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Now this man, the psalmist, this man's treatment was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You see, you're talking to your own soul. You're talking to yourself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He asks. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. See, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the Bible telling you to talk to yourself, to teach yourself what yourself needs to hear. By the way, in modern psychotherapy, this is called cognitive behavioral therapy. You have to talk to yourself. You need to tell yourself the truth until your emotions fall in line with the truth. And that, of course, is Bible. J.I. Packer says the same thing. He says, contentment comes by learning to talk to ourselves in a good Christian way. You listen to God in Scripture and then tell yourself what He said. If your emotions disagree, you argue with your emotions. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And soul says, I don't want to. Oh, but you're going to. You must not forget His benefits. Bless the Lord, soul. And here's where we go. And we're going to talk about all those benefits. We're going to count our blessings. We're going to tell our souls. And we're going to tell the Lord all those things for which we are thankful. John Piper says the same thing. The battle against despondency, you would probably call that depression. The battle against despondency is a battle to believe the promises of God. And that belief comes by hearing the word. And so preaching to ourselves is at the heart of the battle. You have to preach to yourself. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Teach yourself the truth. If yourself says, I can't go on an elevator because the elevator is going to break and come crashing down, you have to tell yourself the truth. Now, truth is, self, soul, listen to me. Elevators really don't break and come crashing down. You've got to recalibrate. You preach to yourself. You tell yourself the truth. And this is what the psalm is teaching us. And what truths do we like the best? Freedom from shame. When Teresa and I were young, we were moving from one place to another across town. And we had an antique hutch. It's called a Hoosier cabinet. You probably don't know what that is. But it had etched glass in it. And acid has etched the glass into a pattern. It's very pretty. It's antique. And I put it in the truck. And Teresa said, no, no, it's going to tip over. I said, no, no, I got it. I got it. And I did something. And it tipped over. And some crazy corner went jabbing right in that etched glass. Worst case scenario. Unbelievable. And so what if for the rest of my life, every time I saw Teresa, I ran into a different room. It's like, oh, she's going to say something, so I run away. And I do it all my life. She really didn't want me to run away. Besides that, we got a better Hoosier cabinet one day, and we even sold that because it's big and clunky and we didn't have any place for it. So it's like, no, no, none of that. It's all gone. I think she really doesn't mind anymore. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It's all forgiven. And she doesn't really want me. If I walk up to her and, you know, have my head down and my shoulders bunched up, she really doesn't want a husband to look like that. She wants me to have, you know, chin up and all of that and to love her. And I don't really run away from her anymore. So that's the etched glass in the Hoosier cabinet. But now let's talk about, you know, that other thing. I don't even want you to know some of the things I've done in my life. I hope you never know. But that too. When you confess your sins, God is faithful to forgive you. And God doesn't want you to run away from Him. Like, no, no, no. You know, it's ancient history. It's gone. Every once in a while, so I will tell you this. My 3-year-old grandson, we were getting tadpoles out of the ditch. And he had a mega squirt gun that he filled up. He's only 3, right? He filled up with ditch water. It's very cold. And while I am getting him a tadpole, he shoots me right in the face, including in the mouth. And I said, no. And I swatted that squirt gun thing. It's very long. And he looked at me, because I never do anything like that. He looked at me and he froze. For like the count of 3, and then he ran in the house saying, Mama. So I'm not glad that such a thing ever happened. I feel, you know, the look on his face when I swatted that squirt gun away. He was crestfallen. But you know what? Next day he woke up from his nap and he cried, Papa, you know, he wants to see me. That's you and God. The Lord had to take care of business. You know, once upon a time, He took care of business. He doesn't want you to slink around thinking, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. He wants you to say, Father, we're good, right? You love me, right? Everything's good. And everything is good. That's forgiveness. No shame. And hating school. One of my grandsons hated school. Like every time I didn't take him to school. His mom took him to school. He's like, clinging onto his mom to peel him off, you know, like Velcro and send him in. He's crying. It breaks your heart. The Lord is so warm toward us. If He makes us do something we don't want to do, He actually feels sorry for us. Doesn't that matter? You think, the Lord is making me do what I don't want to do. It makes a difference to know, yeah, He honestly feels sorry for you. He pities you. That just makes a difference to me. I'm going through something hard, but the Lord feels sorry for me. That makes a difference. So here's our conclusion. Why should I bless the Lord? Why should I? Why should I have a good word in my heart about God? And why should I speak a good word to Him? Why should I? The answer? Well, because of God's Father-like pity. He feels everlasting pity for me. Isn't that great? And because of all God's good wishes, you know, do not be afraid to imagine it. He's going to do that for you if you follow Him. And because of all God's forgiveness, the most shameful moment is so far from us as we've confessed our sins. So far from us, it's like the east is far from the west. And because of all God's physical help, disasters averted, 1,000 gifts, that's why. But maybe for today, the most important thing is for you to realize if you will not have a good word in your heart for God and you won't tell Him a good word, if you won't, then you will become emotionally unwell. If you don't bless the Lord, you cannot be emotionally well. You cannot be well adjusted. You have to bless the Lord. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Now, before we go home today, if there's any person here who has never yet received the Lord's wonderful forgiveness to have his sins removed as far as the east is from the west, to be absolutely good with God. Let me just remind you that Jesus died on the cross so that all your sins could be forgiven and forgotten forever. And if you've never gone to Him to accept this free gift of everlasting life, while we're praying in our hearts right now, maybe in your heart, you can ask the Lord to give you that free gift of forgiveness and a home in heaven forever. That would be a wonderful thing. And for all of us, as we pray in our closing prayer, maybe you could offer a quick good word to God. And I think that would be very appropriate. Father, it's true that we should not be forgetting your benefits. We should be counting our blessings. And there have been so many. First and foremost, when you visited us in our sin debt prison and you asked us what is the most wonderful thing that could ever come, do not be afraid to imagine it. And then you promised us that forever. Lord, we love you for that. And all of us leave here today with a good word in our hearts for you and a desire to tell you, to express to you those good words. We ask, Lord, that we be dismissed now with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.